Now, you know how I feel? I feel like saying everybody should go and listen to all the teachings again. Because you know what I've come to discover? If some things are not repeated, you know we've done this series before. If some things are not repeated, I've taught it before. I taught it in first time I did a teaching on grace was in 2022, April 2022. And I'm teaching it again because I've discovered that if you don't listen again, sometimes it may come and go, and at a point you cannot even really check what you know. If you check very well, at a point it may have come in and just gone out. And you cannot really pinpoint what did you really get. What do you really know about this subject? Praise the Lord. Now, I was thinking about something yesterday. How many times was the letters of the alphabet repeated to our children? Repeated to you. Think about how many times it was repeated to you before you knew that A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I want to be sure I'm not making a mistake. U, R, S, T. W. Did I miss W? I think I missed W. You know, do you know where I was when it dawned on me that W is 2U? W. I was like, oh my God, it hits me. I'm sure it's hitting you like Rema. See this person's face. W. Oh. U. W. Okay, I see. Praise the Lord. So it must be repeated again and again. Again and again. I'm telling you, you must repeat it as many times as possible. Now, I'm sure, between when you first heard letters of the alphabet and when you began to say it fluently, you must have heard it at least 1,000 times. If I'm not exaggerating, 1,000 times. My daughter will be 2 years old on Saturday. And even when she's reading 1 to 10 or to 20, sometimes she reads to 30, self. And sometimes I hear 13, 14, 17, 19, 20, 21, 23. do you understand? Think about the number of times it has to be repeated for her to master it. That is why these days I've made up my mind that my sermon should not be too long, except in special meetings. Because I've discovered that you may be dishing out so much, but it's not so much that is entering. Oh, because when I did the teaching Grace the Revelation 2 times, I did it first in Lagos. We came and did Grace of the Revelation last 2 Thursdays. I was expecting somebody to talk about how that the new creation has come into the rest of God. Remember that God worked for 7 days and rested on the 7th day. And that 7th day that he rested was the first day of man. In the same way, we in Christ, God has done all the work, but the new creation was born into the rest. Are you with me? So we have rested from works the same way God rested from works. Okay, I know that if that sounds deep, no problem. I'm going to teach it again in camp meeting in December. Praise the Lord. Today's service has been titled, Grace is Lavish. Grace is lavish. I want to hear you say, Grace is lavish. Glory. So what does the word lavish mean? It means without restraint. It means without restraint. It means plentiful. It means abundance. The word lavish means without restraint, plentiful, abundant. So what do we mean when we say the grace of God in Christ is lavish? It means that God's grace is without restraint. And I'm going to break it down as much as possible for you to get it. It means the grace of God is without restraint, it is plentiful, and it was abundantly poured out for us. Let me go over that again. When we say the grace of God is lavish, it means that the grace of God is without restraint, it's plentiful, and it was abundantly poured out for us. Amen. It means it cannot be exhausted. If you get this teaching, if you understand what I'm saying, let me tell you something. I've come to discover that you need revelation. You need it so much that it is the revelation you have that will change your life. See, your life eventually, when we come to the end of your life, it will be the result of the revelation that you received and that changed you. In fact, if you truly receive revelation, it must change you. Are you with me? If you truly receive revelation, your approach to things will just change. It will change your deeds. It will change the steps you take. It will change your mindset. I'm telling you, what I'm going to share with you today, it's not just open your eyes to the glory of God. It will change your life. I'm telling you. Amen. So let me begin from Exodus 34 from verse 6. Or let me read from verse from verse 6, please. Exodus 34 from verse 6. So what's happening in Exodus 34? This was when Moses was saying, Lord, show me your glory. Before we leave this place, before we take this journey, show me your glory. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 34 from verse 5. So let me start from verse 5. The Bible says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. The him there is Moses. Are you with me? And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Are you seeing this? Verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, and unto the third and even to the fourth generation. If you don't look closely, you will think the emphasis here is that he punishes the fourth generation. But you forget that he said keeping thousands, meaning his mercy, keeping mercy for thousands. His mercy is for thousands of generations, but his judgment is just to the fourth generation. Are you with me? So God is more inclined to mercy than to judgment. Are you seeing this? How can you keep mercy for a thousand generations and judgment for only four generations? That tells you that God is biased. He's more on the side of mercy. Praise the Lord. He's more on the side of mercy, to show mercy to man. This is the lavishness of God's grace. But well, we are just beginning. Look at Titus chapter 3 from verse 6 to 7. Titus 3 from verse 6. It says, let's read from verse 5, please. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Glory! Oh, I like this verse 6 and 7. Which is shed on us how? Abundantly. Abundantly. So, the grace of God that was shed for us was not shed sparingly. It was shed how? Abundantly. Very important thought here. That being justified by his grace. So now, the abundance of his grace which was poured on us made us justified. Are you with me? That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. The heirs here may not give you the proper idea. We should be made inheritors. So because we have been justified by his grace, we have now become inheritors of the hope of eternal life. So right now, we have the hope that eternal life is our own. Are you with me? We have the hope that eternal life is ours because we have been justified by his grace. Glory!
Glory.
It was shed abundantly. You know, let me give you a good example. You want to give soap to someone, powdered soap, and the person wants to wash his clothes with it. And maybe it's your neighbor and you don't have any relationship with the person. The person says, do you have, in Nigeria, it's called, all powdered soap are called Omo. Even though Omo is a brand, are you with me? So you get the point. So I'm teaching like this because I assume some people will be following us from other countries and they may wonder, what is Omo? Does it mean on my own? O-M-O. So Omo is the general brand name for powdered soap or detergents. Hey. So you want to give someone detergent and the person is pouring it. And he pours a little, pours again, and you almost feel like telling him, you've taken enough. And the person wants to go on and you're like, please don't finish my soap. Are you with me? You gave him the soap, but you're not lavish with it. Are you with me? So even if you wanted to wash so many clothes, there is only an amount that the one that you took can wash. There's only as much as what he took can clean. But listen, he poured it out so much so that you eventually become justified. Do you get what I just said? He said, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that being justified. So, he did not just pour the grace to the point of forgiveness. He poured it to the point of justification. If you just got what I said. Sometimes he shed it on us abundantly. So, I want to ask again. What does the grace of God being lavish mean? It means that no matter the amount of sin that men may have committed, no matter the amount of sin you may have committed, it cannot stand the weight of God's grace. I hear what I'm saying. Now, You may want to criticize me for this stand, but we're going to look at the Bible. The Bible says, let God's word be true, let every other thing on every other man be a liar, right? It's the Bible. It means there is no amount of sin that the weight of God's grace cannot withstand and overpower. Do you know what it means for you to swallow death and still be light? Do you know what it means for Christ to swallow death and still be life? It means the grace of God was so lavish, he swallowed death as though it never existed. Yes. The grace after me, the grace of God is lavish. It also means, still under the same point, that it doesn't matter how pitch black darkness your sin may have been. It doesn't matter how pitch black darkness a man may have gone into sin. The grace of God has gone further than that. Are you with me? It can reach you and bring you out. It doesn't matter how far you may have gone. Maybe you are listening to me and you say, Pastor, you don't know how far I've gone. Listen, the grace of God has gone further. Yes. Think about all the mistakes that Samson made. Samson was sinning against God at every opportunity. At every opportunity, Samson was making mistakes. And yet, at the point of his dying, God still heard his prayer. Ah. That means for God to hear his prayer, God was listening. Ah. He prayed, oh God, give me strength. And even at that point, God listened to him and gave him victory there. Said, I mean, the grace of God is lavish. Let me tell you something. I know we are talking about the context of salvation, but if you understand the grace of God, you will never regret a day in your life again. See, you need to know how much this teaching touched me. If you understand the grace of God, you will never regret again in your life. Imagine you had 10 billion and you had a business that makes you make a billion every month, and you did a transaction and you lost 500,000 naira. If you cry, that means you don't know what you have. Are you with me? Like in your account is 10 billion. You have a business that just keeps making it 1 billion every month. Then you lose 500,000 naira. You have to be the greediest man in the universe to still be worried about that. So that means if the grace of God is lavish, it doesn't matter how many mistakes a man has made. Ah, it doesn't matter how disconnected and confused your life may have been. If the grace of God is this lavish, that means it can go that far and correct it as though there was never a mistake in the first place. Ah, you missed a place to shout glory. Say, I mean, the grace of God is lavish. Oh, Pastor, if I did this at that time, maybe I would have been here by this time. And if I'm here by this time, maybe this would have happened. The grace of God is lavish enough to correct every mistake, restore time, give peace. Are you with me? It will impact speed as though you never made a mistake in the first place. That's the grace of God being lavish. Praise Jesus. So let's do some Bible study. It's going to be quite lengthy, but follow me. Romans 5 from verse 1. Now it says in Romans 5 from verse 1, being justified, or therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Say after me, we have peace with God. Ah, that is the same one of his own. We have peace with God. So once upon a time, men could not stand boldly before God. Once upon a time, maybe you are listening to me and you see, you think about yourself, see, how does God look at me? Once upon a time, men could not stand boldly before God. But if you believe in Jesus, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Say, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hey! So, by faith, you have access into this grace. This grace will cause you to stand. Are you with me? Where we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Amen. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Let me read it in NLT. Now it says in verse 6, New Living Translation, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Verse 7. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. This is why It's good to check other translations. He says, now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. So a person who is even good, it would be difficult to find somebody to die for him. He says, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. So someone, maybe after the long search, you may try to find somebody. He says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Ah, Jesus. How can you use your son to pay for the sins of your enemies? How can you use your son to pay for the sins of your enemies? And not just pay in terms of money, the life of your son. Says to me, grace is lavish. Now, see, let me explain. Let me give you an idea. Imagine there was a supermarket and someone came to steal in the supermarket. And he was very hungry. And so he stole things worth 5,000 naira. Maybe bread, Hollandia yogurt, sardine. Sorry, Titus. And he stole things worth 5,000 naira. And just when he thought he had finished the job excellently and was strolling away, he was caught. And the cashiers and the people who work at the supermarket said, before we will pay with our money, catch him and beat him. And they were beating him profusely. And then the owner of the supermarket came out and said, what is happening? I said, this guy stole from our shop. We don't want to pay. So we caught him and we are taking him to the police station and we'll beat him first before we take him there. And the man said, how much did he steal? He said, he stole things worth 5,000 naira. I said, you know what? All of you send me your account numbers. And transfers 500,000. And says, you know what? I've not only paid for him. Send it to my office. I want to discuss with him. The next day, made the new manager. He's made the new manager of the supermarket. At a point, first of all, when he sends the money, you say, show off. You just came to show off. But he did not just stop there. Made him the new manager. Tomorrow, you see him dressed with a suit and a tie. What is happening? Now, even the guy who stole will not be expecting that much. He'll be wondering, what happened? If you just paid the 5,000, if you paid 10,000 naira, you tried. But now you went over and above. Are you with me? Do you know how foolish it would be for that new manager to go back to steal in that shop? Now, if he goes back to steal in that shop, you know what they will say to him? You don't understand what was done. Let me tell you something. If you understand the lavishness of grace, there is what it will impact on you. Are you with me? If you understand how much was poured out, it will change your approach to Christianity. So back to Romans 5 in our NLT adventure. Now, it says, verse 7. Now, most people will not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies. So now, while we were still his enemies, he will certainly save us through the life of his son. So while we were enemies, God paid for us and called us his friends. Waiting for a day that we will hear the message and believe. So that means, how does God view the sinner? It means that God looks at the sinner and with the eyes of, I have paid for you and I'm waiting for you. For something to go into the future, that means he paid in advance. He paid with the hope that one day you'll be sitting down here and I'll be explaining this. And I'll be explaining this not even just to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. It says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, and everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to Moses, even those who did not obey an explicit command of God, as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. Please, let's go back to King James. I'm missing the King James. The problem is, there are some verses you read in King James, you will not get the point. Are you with me? It may mislead you. When the Bible says, guard your loins with the belt of truth. Somebody read, guard your lions. If you're not careful, a strange rhema can come from there. Every child of God has lions. You better get, because somebody did not put O before I, he saw, maybe he had dyslexia and saw I before O. He just said, put belt of truth on your waist. That's, it's better put with New English, you say, put belt of truth on your waist. Are you with me? King James, just be very careful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, go to King James, please. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So he's saying that death reigned over people that did not eat the fruit. They did not eat that fruit, but because they were from Adam, are you with me? Death reigned over them. Now, see verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more. Look at that expression. Much, say after me, much more.
Much more.
Say it again, much more.
Much more.
Say it again, much more.
Much more.
Ah, Jesus. Much more. And the gift, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So now, even if you did not eat the fruit, because you are from Adam, there to reign over you. He's saying that in this new regime, there is a new king in charge now. Even if you are not the one that died on the cross, you are not the one that went to the grave, you are not the one that descended into hell, but because you believe in this new, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
In this new sacrifice by the second and last Adam, much more. Whatever death did in its own reign, grace to do double.
Yes,
so, see, do you know what that means? It means if because of sin, people died. By the grace of God, people will not just be forgiven. They are not just going to be forgiven, they are also going to be healed. They are also going to get a new body. They are also going to encounter God for eternity. Are you with me?
Yes,
he's telling you that the provisions that grace is bringing will so outdo what death did. Are you with me? And bring him. It will be so much that it was so much that he called it the reign of grace. Let's read on. But not as the offense also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one man be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offense unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. That means by the lavishness of grace, we have the possibility of reigning in life.
Yay!
They which receive abundance of grace shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus. I don't know how you have been reading this thing and you have not been feeling like shouting. Say after me, I receive abundance of grace.
I receive abundance of grace.
I receive abundance of grace. What will you do if you knew that there is nothing you can do that will make you fail? What will you do if you knew that no matter how many mistakes you make, you cannot fail? Because there is abundance of grace for you. He's saying that if you understand what's happening here, the grace of God is always available to pick you up and take you to the top. Say after me, I receive abundance of grace. No, you receive an idea. What if this idea fails? No, I will implement it. There is abundance of grace. Grace is lavish. Are you with me? Oh, this thing we want to buy, this land we want to get, this school we want to go to, I don't have enough money. What if I start and halfway I am chased out? No, there is abundance of grace. Are you with me? It's more than enough. See, I have more than enough for everything I'm going to do on this earth. There is, say after me, I have more than enough. I have abundance of grace. Now, the context here is sin. So, first of all, you know, I've tilted a little bit to charismatic grace, but the foundation here is sin. He's saying, much more, No matter the sin you commit, there is abundance of grace. Do you know what it is? That Christ died 2,000 years ago. And in much more than 2,000 years, The blood of Christ is still efficacious to cleanse people. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
God did not release the blood and say, don't put too much. Don't spill too much blood though, to cleanse the sins. Let it just, you know, the analogy I was giving you the first time, that you are giving someone powdered soap to wash his clothes. You don't want to give the person too much. But God released everything. 2,000 years later, it is still efficacious. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If Christ tarries for another 2,000 years, this blood is available to wash the whole world completely. The blood was released lavishly. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
His life was poured out lavishly. It doesn't matter any mistake, any issue anybody has done. The blood of Christ can clear the vilest offender.
Yes,
see, we're going to still... I know you have questions. Let me tell you something here. If you were taught grace... Should I say what I want to say? What I want to say is heavy. It's very, very heavy. If you were taught grace and you don't... It doesn't bring you to a point of, I can do anything. You were not taught grace. Let me say it again. If you were taught grace, and it doesn't bring you to a point where I can do anything, then you were not taught grace. And I'm going to show you. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He's repeating the same thing with different emphasis. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now, let me explain that. He says the law entered that the offense might abound. So, he's trying to say that sin, from the beginning of Adam, after Adam's sin, there was sin in the world. But it was not obvious because God had not enacted some laws. So when the law came, it now became obvious, very obvious that, men have been sold under sin. Or this sin has eaten deep into them. So he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. Grace did much more did abound. Are you with me?
Yes,
let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. King James at work. Moreover, enter that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So God likes to, where it looks like this person has gone too far, that is where the grace of God will be shown. Are you with me? Where it looks like the sin is very plenty, that's where the grace of God will be shown more. So for instance, if you have someone who was born into a Christian family, or a family that were, let me not use the word Christian, was born into a highly moral family. So you have someone, imagine you knew somebody who was born into a highly moral family. And they believe, okay, do this right, do this right, do this right, do this right. When you are presenting the grace of God to him, it may not look so much to him. He may think, he may be tempted. There is a temptation to think that, I have done this, I have done this, I have done that. Are you with me?
Yes.
But when you have somebody who was a vile offender, are you with me? Maybe the guy born from a highly moral family end up becomes a pastor. He may think that, I am a pastor tomorrow because I was already keeping myself from the beginning. I already knew how to pray. I was reading the Bible. I was very morally upright. But when you see a vile offender like Paul, somebody who was killing the Christians, God now encounters him. And tomorrow he's now praying, preaching the word of God. His God is showing that where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. Are you with me? So the grace of God likes to show up in situations that look like it is far gone. Do you get that?
Yes.
Except that me, grace is lavish. So maybe you are listening to me and you feel like, I am far lost, I am far gone. That is the kind of person that the lavishness of grace will be revealed even more.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Have you read verse 21? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign true righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, see Romans 6 verse 1. Now you understand what I said earlier. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, why is he asking this question? Let's do Bible study. Why is Paul asking this question in Romans 6 verse 1? Because grace has done what? Why is he asking? Think deeply. Why is he asking this question? Because Romans 5 looked as though
that, see, you know what Romans 5 is saying? The summary of Romans 5 is, no matter your sin, no matter what you do, no matter what you have done, are you with me? The grace of God has cleansed it and, are you with me? Has covered it. He said, and he's not just doing it because he wants you to be lascivious. He's trying to show off his grace the same way death reigned. Are you with me? He's trying to show off that grace. So that means all the time in the Old Testament where people were dying out of sin, God was looking for an opportunity to show how his grace can outdo that. Are you with me? So he's not just showing off that, oh, I just want you to misbehave. He's trying to show off that my grace is lavish and abundant. My grace is lavish and abundant. Pastor, do you know about my life? Do you know what has happened to me? Do you know where I'm coming from? Do you know the mistakes I've made? Do you know what has happened? No, God wants to show off his grace in your life. Yes. He wants to show off his grace. That's why he told you, where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. So that's why they're asking that question. Shall we continue in sin that grace will abound? Are you getting it now? So are we going to continue in sin because the grace is plenty? Are you going to begin to waste your money everywhere because you have 10 billion? So he's saying, even if you waste the money, we have plenty, but are we going to waste it? No. Now, forgiving your sins, he poured the grace so much that it transformed you from a sinner into a new creation. That you are no longer, my God, you are no longer a slave to sin, but now you are a different person completely. Do you get that? Hey, let's look at it. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So, the lavishness of grace did not just stop at forgiving sins. It was poured so much until your sins were not just forgiven. Until the old man died, he was still pouring out that grace. So, are you following this? He poured out the grace so much that your sins were forgiven. Your old man died. Your nature of sin died. And then a new man was born. In the same way, they poured the almost so much that by the time they were done with the shirt, all these things disappeared and even some colors from inside left. they said, no, this was not the cloth we put inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? A different cloth came out. What happened? They said they poured it too much. Do you understand it? This is the reason why a man of grace cannot continue in sin. Because the grace has changed you so much that you became a different creature. Let's read. He said, therefore, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Say after me, I walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also. Hey! We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That our old man. So this is, he's showing you how much he poured out his grace. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So now, the new creation in Christ Jesus is dead to sin. He has been freed from sin. So the lavishness of grace did not just forgive our sins, but it was poured out so much until we became new people. Except that I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. His grace has been poured out lavishly upon me. His grace has been poured out lavishly upon me. Glory! So this is why the grace of God is lavish. Now, there's so much to still say. I have many other analogies. When you even study the stories that Jesus used to explain this thing, you understand that he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. God wants you to see the lavishness of his grace. Let me give you another example. It's a spiritual example, so it may not make sense to your natural mind, but you have the mind of Christ, amen? So you can catch it. Have you ever seen a scripture that says, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? The righteousness of God in him. Let's read it again. For he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know what that means? Think about it. How was he made sin? He was made sin when he took our sins, right? And in a more technical sense, he was made sin when he became one with us. So he became the very nature of sin because he took all our sins. So if he became sin by taking all our sins, how do we become righteousness? Or when did he become righteousness? I've taught this thing before. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says that Paul was praying for the Ephesian church that you will know what the exceeding glory of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. So when he says when he raised him from the dead, it means God raised him out of the place of the dead, not just from the grave. You know, when you say the grave, have you ever been teaching the gospel in his burial? When you say the grave, you may be thinking it's just his body. But when his body was in the grave, his soul, his spirit was in the place of the dead as a sinner. So how much of God's power, how did God transform him out of hell to not... See, Jesus did not come out of hell still carrying our sins. So what happened? It is that God was pouring out his power so much on him that all of the sins and death within him was washed away. Now, because he has become one with us, anything God was doing to him, he was doing to us. The power of God was so poured out on him that by the time God was done, God even said, today a new creation has been born. Read it in the book of Acts and the book of Hebrews. It says, today have I begotten thee. That's why Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. It was as though God gave birth to a new child. We'll stop here. And that is the grace that is at work in us. That means there is nothing. Remember I told you that if you understand grace, your faith will enter another level. If Christ took our sins and descended to the deepest depth of darkness, how deep is your life that his grace cannot pull you out? How fallen is your life that the power of God cannot pull you out? Because grace is power. Are you with me? For there to be grace is power. Shout at me, I believe in the grace of God. Let me tell you something. As I was meditating on this today, you know, it is when the situation looks very, very, very bad that the grace of God is shown very, very great. You may not understand the grace of God until you, on a ministry, until you see them when they were 10. And then, in a short while, you see them 5,000. In a short while, you see them 10,000. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It's called grace. So that's, you know, it has to be the grace. Because there is no way. Naturally speaking, it looks like anything good will come out from this life. But I decree over you, the grace of God is making the difference.
Amen.
The grace of God is making the difference.
Amen.
You that was begging for money to eat, struggling for how to make ends meet, thinking about how will my life end up? Where will my life end up? The grace of God will make a difference.
Amen.
The grace of God will make a testimony out of your life. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank him right now. Thank him. Amen.